If you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, there will be a few minutes before we get there, but I first came here, was introduced, and we went up the cafeteria, and we talked about my family, and they put us on the stage, and pastors talk about things that I've done in the past, and you know, my approach to ministry has always been, you know, an eclectic approach. And, you know, that just simply means that through the years, I tend to collect and inherit lots of responsibilities and jobs in the church. But one of the greatest things that I do is to be able to lead Ocala Christian Academy. And as the administrator, you know, I don't deal with day-to-day discipline. We have an elementary principal, Ms. Sharon Lloyd, and a high school secondary principal, Mr. Ron Carpenter, that does a great job at that. As far as supervising teachers, they both have a responsibility there for secondary and elementary supervision with that. My role becomes more of a total overseer. As an administrator, you know, I then inherit the ultimate responsibility of supervision, but also of the finances, of the facilities, the day-to-day running of the ministry of the school. With that comes, you know, the role of marketing and public relations, communication, and all those different things that go with that. But the greatest thing that I have and do and enjoy is that idea of vision. And the Bible tells us, you know, without a vision, the people perish. And we have to have plan. We have to have plan B and C and D and E and F and G. And we do that in schedules every year. Mr. Carpenter, you know, puts out secondary schedules and he'll give it to me. We'll look at it and we'll tweak it and we'll come back. And last year, I really think we got to G last year before we ended up starting the school year. But with that comes that idea of what if, as well as, hey, look at the potential here. What can we do? Now, one of the greatest responsibilities that I have as an administrator is, number one, trying to work and push and have that spiritual role of keeping things where they need to be for the Lord. But with that, and tied very closely to that, is the idea of hiring. If I hire the right people in administration, in the business office, secretaries, maintenance, our supervisors, cafeteria, support staff, and teachers, then I don't really have to do anything. And that's my goal, is to work myself out of a job. Because if everybody does what they're supposed to do, then my job is easy. It doesn't always work that way, but we work towards that. And this year even, we have hired several new people, people that you don't know, some of you may have seen or met, but they'll be coming in this summer and early fall and be here for our new school year. And every year there is a lot of prayer, preparation, and a lot of things that have to happen before the school year starts. Once the school year starts, once the calendar's created, once the schedule's created, and the activities just kind of keep on going. Sometimes like a long snake that doesn't ever go by, that just keeps on coming. Someone said something the other day, said, you know, we've had something to do, church or school, in some way, fashion or another, every Saturday for the last 12 weeks. And it may be something that everybody's not involved in. It may be a shower. It may be something like that. But there's a lot of things going on, and it does get busy. And as things get busy, and as we start just going with the flow and going with the schedule, we have to be careful to not just keep the same old, but there has to be a vision. There has to be that working and that planning and that preparation for the future. We have, you know, 5-year plan and different things that are penciled out in areas of facilities, in areas of staffing, in areas of curriculum, and all these different things that we work on and plan. And with the right staff, again, that makes my job easier when people come and say, you know, we have a problem in this area, and the solution might look like this. You know, I like that. You know, I don't like when it's, hey, we got a problem here, you need to fix it. You know, that's difficult. That's usually what we get, but we have staff that see the need and that prepare and plan and ultimately pray to do, you know, God's will here in this ministry. We've done several different things here this year and are going to do throughout, you know, the rest of the year and the summer. And I'm excited for what God has in store for Ocala Christian Academy, what we can do to this community as we impact the students and the families, you know, right here in driving distance of this school. Not all of them live in Ocala. Not all of them live in Marion County. And there's people that come from great distances even to bring their kids here to school every day. And it is a blessing to be able to stand in front of those students and to be able to help guide them and lead them in eternal truth and to teach them the things that they need to know, you know, from God. This year, in particular, right now, we're in the middle of a fundraising campaign. Now, that campaign isn't like normal fundraising campaigns. This is really more of a fund, you know, a funds raising activity. There's no candy bar. There's no seeds that you have to sell. There's no messy things to deal with and have to worry about bringing a product back. The product is simply the students, the graduates of Ocala Christian Academy. And we have put together just a simple packet that has, you know, just a few, you know, items in there that we are giving out. You know, one of them is the brochure that you guys have probably seen these floating around through the years, but this is a new one that we have designed and updated, and Mr. Kersop does all of our marketing and all of our different things with that. But it's got the church on one side, information about the church, and the school on the other. We use these for visitation and things like that, packets that go out. This is just the basic who we are philosophy of Ocala Christian Academy and Central Baptist Church. In here, there's also a letter from our perspective as administrator. There's a letter that goes out to businesses and says, you know, who we are, our history, what we believe in, what we're for, how that, you know, we have impacted this community and how that we want to be able to do so in the future. We talk about our tuition and how that pays our general operating costs. We have a yearly budget that we set up ahead of time and we work on and go by. But then there's other things. And on the back of that letter, you know, I have listed projects, mostly physical projects, ones that involve money, that are on the back of that, that are from our basic five-year plan of what we want to see, an aerial shot or an inside-the-classroom shot of this campus in the next 5 years. And if you total up all those projects on there, there's about $650,000 worth of projects. Because people don't want to say, hey, what do you got? You know, can you give me money? For what? What are they going to use it for? They use it for tuition? What are they doing with that? You know, in that, we have opportunities that people can give towards scholarship to help people that maybe not be able to take care of all the needs that they have in providing education for their child. And then that money, whether it comes in as a pure donation general fund or a scholarship, still goes to take care of the needs that we have around here. Then there's a letter in here from the student. And hi, my name is, and there's a blank, and they fill in their name, and you know, I'm a student at Ocala Christian Academy, and I just wanted to give you this information. And as a small business or business in the community, would you help us be able to meet some of these goals and needs we have? And what's in it for you? Well, you know, the product, the students that we see in this community and throughout the world. And also, it's a tax write-off for businesses. Most businesses give some money to charitable institutions every year. Why not us? So if you're interested or know somebody that is interested, you know, in that, you know, you can get a packet from the office or me, and you can give it to that business as well, and be able to help give money as we collect money in. You know, there's incentives for the students, and they get prizes and different things that they get for that as well, so that we can improve some of the space, some of the building, some of the things here at Ocala Christian Academy. This summer, starting like as soon as school is out, that next Monday, we are starting on a project here in rebuilding, revamping our office buildings, our office complex. We're actually going to move the office and do some different things, put everybody pretty much together with that office, and to give a facelift. Everybody that walks into Ocala Christian Academy, whether it's an interview, whether it's to pay a bill, whether it's to come settle a discipline issue with their student, they go through our front office. And that is one of the worst looking rooms on campus. And everybody sees that. You know, we can fix up my office and one of the classrooms, and only a few people are going to see that. But everybody sees that front office, and it is much deserving a facelift. So we're going to work on that, you know, this summer, and get that set up so that we can not only look better in a PR side, but that we can be more effective, more efficient, and more even protected and secure in our campus, the way that we funnel children and do things. And it'll isolate and eliminate a lot of the traffic in the elementary building, where people just don't walk in and you think they're going to the office. The next thing you know, they're knocking on the kindergarten classroom door or first grade or something like that. And we see that all the time. But I'm excited what God has in store for Ocala Christian Academy. We talk about school board. We talk about all the different things that are going on in our society. But Ocala Christian Academy, you know, exists to help young people understand their obligation to the Lord and what their role is and how that they can grow in Christ. And it's exciting for me to see things change and things go on and things get better as we work together to glorify God, to point others to Christ, to reach not just the children, but the families of these young people. And then to see these young people go out and grow up, get educated, and do something particularly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4 here, and we'll tie all this kind of together with this. This is just a very short overview of what we do at Ocala Christian Academy. This is a doctrinal or a philosophical message of who we are. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, very, very familiar passage here to us. But this incorporates so much of what we believe and what we do here at Ocala Christian Academy and Central Baptist Church. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens,
that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're going to go through this chapter and look at just four, you know, key points here in this chapter that really just incorporates the doctrine that we teach on a daily basis here at Ocala Christian Academy. We start talking to people about what they believe in anywhere. You go anywhere, everybody has a core value system. You look at our brochure. You look at our literature. If you look at our advertisements that you'll see in Family Times Magazine or Ocala Style, or we send out postcards to area codes and things like that at times in the summer. You know, there are four pillars on there that we build everything else upon. And that is biblical values, academics, athletics, and fine arts. Everything that we do is touching one or more of those foundational pillars. Particularly, the biblical values is encompassing of the athletics, the education, the academics, and the fine arts. But the biblical values itself, and we chose that several years ago, those four ideas that we put out there, and we rest everything on that. But that idea really is our biblical worldview. The biblical values was much more easily to understand and even to assimilate into all of our areas than that idea of biblical worldview, which is a buzzword that is out there in Christianity today as people focus on the idea of why you believe what you believe. Everything that we do, everything that we stand for, going back to, you know, Dr. Bloom starting this school, is the foundation of the Word of God. We want these children to understand this book. Sunday school today, you know, simple idea and illustration that I think we'd all understand, you know, is if we could take this book and have it so that it went into a USB port and stick it in somebody's head, that everything they do would filter and funnel through the Word of God. That is what we are trying to accomplish at church and at school. That people would do everything through that idea of biblical values. What does God want me to do? How do I take care of this problem? Whether it's bitterness, whether it's anger, whether it's discouragement, sorrow, or some type of a sin, how do I take care of this? Well, it all goes back to biblical values. How do you apply the Word of God to your life? First thing we see here, verses 1 and 2, and then it starts out and says, you know, Paul is beseeching us that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, that first idea is a commitment to a goal. You know, at Ocala Christian Academy, that is one of the things that as a teacher, as a staff member, that we have to focus on, you know, each day. Now, we don't necessarily flip through you know, note cards and have sticky notes on our desk or on our computer screen, you know, saying, remember, commitment to a goal. But that overlying idea is, why are we here? We are here, number one, for God, number two, for the children, number three, for the families in Ocala, to help them, to minister to them, to their needs. To give them the gospel, to see them saved, to evangelize, have an opportunity, just like bus ministry, just like Sunday school, just like Living Proof, just like our church services, where we have an opportunity for people to walk in these doors to hear the gospel clearly and to have a decision of what are you going to do with Christ now? But in a school, we have a captive audience. 180 days a year. 7 class periods a day or 7 hours a day that we have them to be able to not only give the gospel, but to live the gospel in front of them. And we are committed to a goal. And as we look here, we see that, you know, we have a vocation, a job that God has called us to. And we want to do our best to perform that job to the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the understanding of the student and the family. We have to, being committed to a goal, first identify the goal. You know, walk worthy of the vocation, of the job, you know, we like to say ministry, that God has called you to do. What is your ministry in the local church? Well, at Ocala Christian Academy, part of our ministry is Ocala Christian Academy. As an extension of Central Baptist Church, that we can give the gospel, to live the gospel, to be a testimony, and also to teach the kids to grow in Christ. Sanctification. What do you do with your salvation? You know, and that is our goal, that we walk worthy of the ministry that we are called to. We drop down verse 11 and 12. You know, once we identify that goal, we have to refocus often. We have a teacher's meeting almost every day of the week that we get together, and we generally take prayer requests, and we pray for one another, for the students, for the families that are represented by those classes. And we have a challenge usually at least once a week that just helps us to refocus on why do we do what we do? Why are we here? And verse 11 and 12, we see that idea here. And now we have all these people in verse 11. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, we see that idea of the perfecting of the saints. You know, that is simply, you know, just discipleship. That we are growing in Christ. That we are learning. And we have these, back in verse 11, to teach others also to do the work of the ministry. To grow in Christ. You know, that is the people in verse 11's job here. Then we go on and we see, you know, talks about the work of the ministry. That the work of the ministry is what? It's a Great Commission. Evangelize and disciple everyone, wherever we go. And that's the job of everybody else, including those mentioned in verse 11, pastors and teachers and evangelists, prophets. You know, their job, personally, is to do the Great Commission, but also to train others and encourage others to do the work of the ministry or the Great Commission. And that's why we have this pulpit. That's why we have a pastor that week after week stands here and encourages and trains and teaches us how to live daily that Christian life. Now we do this 7 hours a day, sometimes longer, 180 days a year in OCA. That we are training people to live for God. Now, we want to be the best in all the areas that we can with what we have, what God has given us. We want to be the best academically. And we strive very hard at that. And we look at curriculum and we change curriculum and we do different things there. We make sure when we are hiring staff that they're able to understand the curriculum, to apply that curriculum, to teach it to the students in a way that is fair to the student, meaning that the student learns and they're able to move on to the next grade. And we have times where we go back and we have a teacher that can't do that.
and we say, thank you for your service, but you can't do that job. God has gifted and blessed you in many ways, but teaching isn't one of them. And we look for somebody else to replace them. But it is our job to train them, and we do our best academically. But the reason that we want great academics is twofold. Number one, we're to do all to the glory of God, the best of our ability. But number two is, if we don't have a good academic program, people aren't going to walk in here and pay us to do the Great Commission. What a blessing we have is people lining up, and literally lining up on waiting lists to get into our school so that we can preach the gospel to them. And they pay us so that we can focus on doing this job, this ministry alone, not have to go work an 8-hour job somewhere else at night, so that we can come here and witness and disciple these young people. But we're committed to that goal, and we refocus on that goal. It goes on and says, you know, the edifying of the body. That is Christian education. That is that idea here that we are building up in the faith. Edification. We use the Word of God to do so. 66 books that God has given us to live the Christian life. And we should be excited about that. As a church, I got one amen. As a church, but as a school, as teachers, as staff, there's nothing worse than a grumpy, frumpy, bitter Christian school worker. They should just be shot. You know, but we have an opportunity to live the Christian life in front of these young people. And if we're bored, discouraged, grumpy, angry, boy, I could see them raising their hand. I want to be like you when I grow up. It doesn't work that way. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to live that Christian life in front of these students, edifying, building them up. In our goal here, commitment to that goal, you know, that's our philosophy, our purpose, our plan. You know, that we walk worthy of the ministry that we are called. Mark 10:45 is a verse, talks about the idea, and it says in the verse, but to minister. And this is a kind of a cute little catchy illustration as well that we can use with that is you can say, well, what time is it to someone that's having problems or someone that is grumpy or someone that is discouraged or they're forgetting their focus on this commitment. And that time is 10:45. You know, Mark 10:45. It is time to minister, but to minister. And that's what we're to do. That's what we're to do in church. And as an extension of our church is our service at OCA, but to minister. You know, we see a commitment to a goal. But we also see verses 3 through 10 here. It talks about a corporate unity, how that we are to be unified together. To be unified, first where there's organization. You know, without that vision, people perish. Without organization, things either fall apart or they get blurred and confused. And we need that organization. And that with that organization is a spirit of excellence in everything that we do. Whether it's lesson plans, teachers, I know you hate to hear that, but lesson plans, presentation, communication. I know cleanliness isn't next to godliness, but no one wants to learn in a dirty room. There are things that we have, expectations that we have, responsibilities that we have to be organized. Everyone here is needed. Everyone has a job. If we didn't have an extended care program that we basically watch or babysit kids from 3:30 when school's out until up to 5:30
then there'd be a lot of kids that could not come here because their parents don't get off work in time to get them. And they don't have anybody to watch their kids. Our extended care workers are necessary. I joke about the cafeteria, and you know, the cafeteria should be a oasis, a solace place for us that we go to, and we can get sustenance, we can get something to drink, we can sit and relax. Unfortunately, teachers are sitting and relaxing with a couple tables full of kids that they're watching spill milk and pull hair and throw things. But we need a cafeteria. We need cafeteria workers and supervisors to be able to give us that. We don't have to have food here. We could have an education program without it. People can bring a brown bag, or nowadays it's Lunchables in a little plastic container, and throw it in a microwave. You know, we can do that without serving hot food. But even for our staff to not have to get up in the morning and think about, what do I got to do for lunch? I got to make my sandwich. I got to do this. I got to do that. We can just know that they're going to serve us something. It may be mystery meat. I hope Bonnie's watching. We might not know what it is even after we eat it. But no, I'm just kidding. But it is something that we have there to deal with. If nothing else, we eat cottage cheese, and salad bar is always there. So the Lord is good. But we need more than just teachers. If we don't have maintenance, we don't have lights, we don't have air, we got the buildings falling down around us. We have grass that's, you know, up to our chest as we wade through the anacondas and the boa constrictors to get to class. There's lots and lots of things that go on here that are behind the scenes that are necessary. We try to be organized to be able to stick to our purpose and our plan of evangelism and discipleship here at Ocala Christian Academy. Verse 13 and 14, in our idea of that corporate unity, there's organization, there's also expectations. Verse 13 and 14 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, simply, our expectation is, act how you should act. You have a responsibility as a teacher to live the gospel, to live the Word of God, so that those around you see that. You know, we have a responsibility to be in church. As a staff member, if we don't set it as a priority to be in church, why do the students? We have a responsibility to look like a Christian and not like the world. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we walk the part of what a Christian is to be. Again, not somebody's opinion, but what the Word of God tells us and teaches us how to live. There's also accountability. And we see this throughout, but look down in verse 25 and 26 here. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, there's that word again, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Down to verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're accountable, you know, to leadership, that heart attitude. Why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? You might be doing something good, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it unsincere, or you're doing it full of anger and rebellion, then you're not doing your job. But we have a idea of accountability, not just to leadership, but to one another.
to the students, to those that are around us. To leadership, it's maybe that heart attitude, a mental thing. But to each other, it's maybe that tongue action, verbally, that we do what we're supposed to do. We say what we're supposed to say. Tender-hearted, kind, you know, that we live the Christian life so that our students and our co-workers even are encouraged to live for God and to do what is right. And that idea of corporate unity, you know, there's organization, expectations, accountability, but there's also communication. Which brings us to the third point here. Commitment to a goal, corporate unity, and then clear communication. You know, speaking the truth in love. Part of Ephesians 4:15, you know, is right there on the wall. That idea is something that should keep us right. And we understand that we're to communicate clearly in love. And that's the reason we do what we do. Again, that grumpy, rebellious, angry staff member is really an oxymoron here in a Christian school. Because everything we do is the love of Christ that is flowing out of us to bring those to salvation and then sanctification, discipleship of those that we're in contact with. That we're to speak the truth in love, verse 15. Then we drop down verse 25 that we read a moment ago. And not only in love, but not lies. That we have that idea of telling the truth, of living the truth. That we live the Word of God, which this is the book of truth. That we're to present others in a way that brings them to Christ, not pushes them away. Communication is huge in a school. Teacher stands up and has to communicate to the young person. And I tell teachers all the time, teaching does not happen when learning does not take place. So the teachers say, well, I taught them. They just all got an F. No, you didn't teach them. You wagged your tongue and you sounded like the teacher on Peanuts. You did not communicate to them. It is the teacher's responsibility, just like it's the pastor's responsibility, to communicate the truth, whether it's biblical, whether it's academic. If they didn't learn, then you better figure out why. We have to communicate in our job all day. As a coach, as an office worker, we have to communicate. All of you have to communicate, you know, every day as well. We fail in that area because we don't communicate biblically a lot of times. And we need to, again, live the Word of God. Plug it in. Let the washing of the Word change us each day. That we know how to live. That we present ourselves in a way that is pleasing to God and pointing others to Christ as well. And then fourthly, there's the idea of a complete yielding to God's will. Back in verse 1, where it talks about walk worthy of your calling. That is our goal, that we do what we're supposed to do. Act like you're supposed to act. Live like you're supposed to live. We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. We're all going to sin. We're all going to mess up. But what do you do now? We get back up. We look to God. And we trust Him to help us each step of the way. We get in the Word of God more. Because we fell today, so tomorrow I'm going to put more of the Word of God in me. Washing of that Word. So that I can live a way that is pleasing to Him. That I can represent the Lord Jesus Christ
the right way at Ocala Christian Academy. Many things going on. Very busy time of year. We're getting ready for senior trips and finals and award ceremonies and award presentations and banquets and graduation, elementary, kindergarten, and also our high school seniors. But it's a great time to, in that crucible of life and that busyness and the troubles and the problems that come, the multiple pressures that we have, to help grow us, disciple us, edify us, build us up in the faith. There's a lot of work to be done, not only at Ocala Christian Academy, but at Central Baptist Church, in the life of each individual believer here tonight. What does God want you to do? Well, we know God wants you to minister. We know God wants you to speak the truth in love. We know God wants you to walk worthy of your calling. That we edify one another with the gospel and share that with everyone that we meet. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this time. Lord, just a simple, simple truth of your word. Lord, what is our biblical view? How do we live the gospel? Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of your word. Lord, the doctrine that is just in this one chapter of your word. Lord, we thank you for that. Pray that we commit to that and learn that and apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just use us this night. Thank you, God, for OCA. Thank you for Central Baptist Church. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, that encourages us to live for you. Thank you for Dr. Bloom and his faithfulness these many, many years here. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you will do. Bless us, encourage us, strengthen us in you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.